Listening test. Task 1. You are going to listen to part of a recording about a famous writer. First, you will have 45 seconds to study the task below, then you will hear the recording twice. While listening, choose the correct answer A, B, C or D for each question 1 to 6. Put a cross in the correct box on the answer sheet. The first one, 0, has been done for you. After the second listening, you will have 45 seconds to check your answers.
A tall, thin man sits up in bed with a typewriter on his knees, chain-smoking. The air is thick with smoke, thickened by a leaky stove. He looks worn, ill, and tired, and is coughing. Outside, a winter storm sweeps the rocky moorland, and below, waves batter the shore. The nearest phone is 8 miles away, and it's another 25 miles to the nearest shop, where steamers bring supplies twice a week to the island. In the room, the man sits back from his typewriter. He's feeling awful, but is gnawed by the suspicion that seldom leaves him that he's behind with his work and should have done more. The first draft of his new novel lies on the bed. He may or may not know it, but this will be his last book, though he is only 46. He calls it 1984. George Orwell, whose real name was in fact Eric Arthur Blair, was born in India on the 25th of June 1903 and died in hospital in London on the 21st of January 1950, a year after I was born. He'd suffered for years from tuberculosis and it finally killed him. His last years were spent in near isolation on that remote island of Jura in the Scottish Hebrides, frantically battling against his own body to keep writing. An author of fiction, polemical journalism, literary criticism and poetry, Orwell is perhaps best known for the dystopian 1984 and the satirical novella Animal Farm, which together have sold more copies than any two books by any other 20th century author. His name has been incorporated into the English language with the term Orwellian, as have many words and phrases that actually come from his writing, such as newspeak, thought police and Cold War. The person choosing George Orwell is the MP for Hull West and Hessle, Alan Johnson. Alan Johnson, why Orwell?
Well, because he was a crucial part of my political development. He was central to my education. I loved his books. I had the wonderful experience when I was 14. I understand that Orwell's not on the national curriculum, which when I was education secretary, I wish I'd knew that. I might have done something about it. But I had a fantastic English teacher called Peter Carlin.
A tall, thin man sits up in bed with a typewriter on his knees, chain-smoking. The air is thick with smoke, thickened by a leaky stove. He looks worn, ill and tired and is coughing. Outside, a winter storm sweeps the rocky moorland and below, waves batter the shore. The nearest phone is 8 miles away and it's another 25 miles to the nearest shop, where steamers bring supplies twice a week to the island. In the room, the man sits back from his typewriter. He's feeling awful, but is gnawed by the suspicion that seldom leaves him that he's behind with his work and should have done more. The first draft of his new novel lies on the bed. He may or may not know it, but this will be his last book, though he is only 46. He calls it 1984. George Orwell, whose real name was in fact Eric Arthur Blair, was born in India on the 25th of June 1903 and died in hospital in London on the 21st of January 1950, a year after I was born. He'd suffered for years from tuberculosis and it finally killed him. His last years were spent in near isolation on that remote island of Jura in the Scottish Hebrides, frantically battling against his own body to keep writing. An author of fiction, polemical journalism, literary criticism and poetry, Orwell is perhaps best known for the dystopian 1984 and the satirical novella Animal Farm, which together have sold more copies than any two books by any other 20th century author. His name has been incorporated into the English language with the term Orwellian, as have many words and phrases that actually come from his writing, such as newspeak, thought police and Cold War. The person choosing George Orwell is the MP for Hull West and Hessle, Alan Johnson. Alan Johnson, why Orwell?
Well, because he was a crucial part of my political development. He was central to my education. I loved his books. I had the wonderful experience when I was 14. I understand that Orwell's not on the national curriculum, which when I was education secretary, I wish I'd knew that. I might have done something about it. But I had a fantastic English teacher called Peter Carlin.
Task 2. You are going to listen to a man talking about his pet. First, you will have 45 seconds to study the task below, then you will hear the recording twice. While listening, complete the sentences 1 to 7 using a maximum of 4 words. Write your answers in the spaces provided on the answer sheet. The first one, 0, has been done for you. After the second listening, you will have 45 seconds to check your answers.
So I have a dog, and his name is Django. I got him from a shelter about 7 years ago in New York City. In fact, the day that I got him, I didn't even want to take home a dog that day, but he was the very first place I came in, and he was in the very first cage that I saw in the shelter, and he was exactly the kind of dog that I wanted. So it was perfect, but the problem was that I had no car. I was there on my motorcycle. So what I had to do, the only logical choice was to take him, put him in a box, and strap him onto the back of my motorcycle and take him home with me. So after a few weeks of working on it, he was actually able to ride on my motorcycle without a box. And so this dog, Django, on the back of my motorcycle, we rode everywhere, and they called me to play in an orchestra in Mexico. And so I took Django on the back of my motorcycle from New York City to Mexico, which took about 2 weeks, and he came with me to live in Mexico. And after that, after riding from New York to Mexico, and then I took him back again, and then I got called for another job in Austria, And so I have to take him from Mexico to Austria, but the flight from Mexico to Austria is too long for a dog. He couldn't handle this. So I took him on the motorcycle back to New York so we can get a direct flight from New York City to Munich with Django on the bottom of the airplane because he's too big to fit in the cabin of the plane. So now Django lives with me here in Vienna, Austria, where he also rides motorcycles here, which the police the other day told me that that's not particularly legal, although they thought it was cool enough that I was able to get away without getting in trouble. But that's another story. So I have a dog, and his name is Django. I got him from a shelter about 7 years ago in New York City. In fact, the day that I got him, I didn't even want to take home a dog that day, but he was the very first place I came in, and he was in the very first cage that I saw in the shelter, and he was exactly the kind of dog that I wanted. So it was perfect, but the problem was that I had no car. I was there on my motorcycle. So what I had to do, the only logical choice, was to take him, put him in a box, and strap him onto the back of my motorcycle and take him home with me. So after a few weeks of working on it, he was actually able to ride on my motorcycle without a box. And so this dog, Django, on the back of my motorcycle, we rode everywhere, and they called me to play in an orchestra in Mexico. And so I took Django on the back of my motorcycle from New York City to Mexico, which took about 2 weeks, and he came with me to live in Mexico. And after that, after riding from New York to Mexico, and then I took him back again, and then I got called for another job in Austria. And so I have to take him from Mexico to Austria, but the flight from Mexico to Austria is too long for a dog. He couldn't handle this. So I took him on the motorcycle back to New York so we can get a direct flight from New York City to Munich, with Django on the bottom of the airplane because he's too big to fit in the cabin of the plane. So now Django lives with me here in Vienna, Austria, where he also rides motorcycles here, which the police the other day told me that that's not particularly legal, although they thought it was cool enough that I was able to get away without getting in trouble. But that's another story.
Task 3. You are going to listen to a recording giving information for visitors to the British Library. First, you will have 45 seconds to study the task below, then you will hear the recording twice. While listening, complete the sentences 1 to 7 using a maximum of 4 words. Write your answers in the spaces provided on the answer sheet. The first one, 0, has been done for you. After the second listening, you will have 45 seconds to check your answers.
When planning your visit, please note our opening times. The main building and reading rooms are open from 9:30 in the morning to 8 o'clock in the evening from Monday to Thursday. Friday opening times are 9:30 in the morning to 6 o'clock in the evening. However, the reading rooms close at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Saturday, the main building and reading rooms are open from 9:30 to 5 o'clock. Sundays, the reading room is closed to have the main buildings open from 11 o'clock in the morning to 5 o'clock in the afternoon. For any questions regarding opening times, please contact Visitor Services on 0207 412 7676 for full details. Text phone is available on 0207 387 0626. Conference Centre events may take place outside these hours. Our address is the British Library, 96 Euston Road, London, NW1 2 DB. The nearest tube and rail connections are King's Cross and Euston. Bus routes numbers 10, 30, 59, 73, 91, 205, 390 and 476 all pass the building along Euston Road. There is also a covered area for bicycles on the piazza. Please note that parking is severely limited in the area. All parts of the building are accessible by wheelchair. A limited number of wheelchairs are available for loan from the information desk. Induction loops are installed in many areas, including the auditorium in the conference centre. Assistant dogs are very welcome. Seating on the front row or by the centre aisle can be reserved for ticket holders with disabilities, subject to availability. To arrange, please phone the box office in advance. The British Library is committed to a policy of providing assistance to all our visitors and readers, not least those with disabilities. If you do have a special request or question when planning your visit, or issues with a policy that you feel impacts on your ability to access our collection or public areas, then please contact our Disability Support Officer. When planning your visit, please note our opening times. The main building and reading rooms are open from 9:30 in the morning to 8 o'clock in the evening from Monday to Thursday. Friday opening times are 9:30 in the morning to 6 o'clock in the evening. However, the reading rooms close at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Saturday, the main building and reading rooms are open from 9:30 to 5 o'clock. Sundays, the reading room is closed to have the main buildings open from 11 o'clock in the morning to 5 o'clock in the afternoon. For any questions regarding opening times, please contact Visitor Services on 0207 412 7676 for full details. Text phone is available on 0207 387 0626. Conference Centre events may take place outside these hours. Our address is the British Library, 96 Euston Road, London, NW1 2 DB. The nearest tube and rail connections are King's Cross and Euston. Bus routes numbers 10, 30, 59, 73, 91, 205, 390 and 476 all pass the building along Euston Road. There is also a covered area for bicycles on the piazza. Please note that parking is severely limited in the area. All parts of the building are accessible by wheelchair. A limited number of wheelchairs are available for loan from the information desk. Induction loops are installed in many areas, including the auditorium in the conference centre. Assistant dogs are very welcome. Seating on the front row or by the centre aisle can be reserved for ticket holders with disabilities, subject to availability. To arrange, please phone the box office in advance. The British Library is committed to a policy of providing assistance to all our visitors and readers, not least those with disabilities. If you do have a special request or question when planning your visit, or issues with a policy that you feel impacts on your ability to access our collection or public areas, then please contact our Disability Support Officer.
Task 4. You are going to listen to a ranger explaining what to do if you meet a bear in the wild. First, you will have 45 seconds to study the task below. Then you will hear the recording twice. While listening, match the beginnings of the sentences, 1 to 8, with the sentence endings, A to K. There are two sentence endings that you should not use. Write your answers in the boxes provided on the answer sheet. The first one, 0, has been done for you. After the second listening, you will have 45 seconds to check your answers.
Well, welcome to Bear Country in Manitoba. Before you head out on the campsite, I just wanted to share a few things with you. There are several different kinds of black bears out here in the wilderness, and there are a few things you need to know before pitching your tent. Never approach or crowd a bear. Just admire it from a safe distance if they do, in fact, approach you on the trails or at your campsite. And never feed a bear. This is one of the big mistakes that campers make. You never want to leave out trash, leave out food. Don't wear strong perfume or makeup if you're going out on the hiking trails. Now, for campers, just keep your campsite clean. You shouldn't have any problems. If you do see a bear, there are a few things that you'll want to remember. Stop, remain calm, assess the situation. Do not turn and run. This may prompt the bear to chase you. If the bear becomes aware of you, just calmly identify yourself as a human by talking to it in a low voice while waving your arms slowly as you back away. Avoid direct eye contact as this may inspire a confrontational reaction. When you're walking in the mountains on the hiking trails, carry pepper spray with you at all times and a walking stick or hunting knife if you're going to be gone for long periods of time. And if you're going in a group, don't let anyone straggle. Always stay together and watch out for one another. All right, campers, now bear in mind that there are three types of bear behavior that you may encounter when you're out on the trails. A threatened bear, a non-threatened bear, and a stalking bear. The threatened bear you will be able to identify by the agitated, stressed vocal noises. The head will be lowered and the ears drawn back while he's facing you. If the threatened bear does make contact with you, fall to the ground playing dead. Lie with your face down, legs slightly apart, with your head between your elbows. If the bear flips you over, roll onto your stomach, but do not struggle or cry out, as this may be perceived as a violent action. Now, the second type of bear, a non-threatening bear, you would probably just encounter in your campsite or on the trails. This bear might not even notice you at first, but do not turn and run unless reaching safety is guaranteed. You don't want to make a bear follow you. Stand your ground until the bear leaves. The most important type of bear to be aware of, however, is the stalking bear. This is why you do not want to have your headphones in, as this bear will approach deliberately, silently, and quietly. If a stalking bear continues to follow you, elevate yourself on a log and raise your jacket over your head to look bigger. You don't want to look like easy prey, campers. If the bear does attack you, fight back with anything at hand. Your binoculars, rocks, pepper spray, a hunting knife. Strike the bear's eyes and nose. Kick and yell. Be defenseless, campers. You are fighting for your life. However, bear in mind that since 1900, there have only been 58 fatal black bear attacks in North America, with the stalking offensive attacks being the most frequent. Well, welcome to Bear Country in Manitoba. Before you head out on the campsite, I just wanted to share a few things with you. There are several different kinds of black bears out here in the wilderness, and there are a few things you need to know before pitching your tent. Never approach or crowd a bear. Just admire it from a safe distance if they do, in fact, approach you on the trails or at your campsite. And never feed a bear. This is one of the big mistakes that campers make. You never want to leave out trash, leave out food. Don't wear strong perfume or makeup if you're going out on the hiking trails. Now, for campers, just keep your campsite clean. You shouldn't have any problems. If you do see a bear, there are a few things that you'll want to remember. Stop. Remain calm. Assess the situation. Do not turn and run. This may prompt the bear to chase you. If the bear becomes aware of you, just calmly identify yourself as a human by talking to it in a low voice while waving your arms slowly as you back away. Avoid direct eye contact as this may inspire a confrontational reaction. When you're walking in the mountains on the hiking trails, carry pepper spray with you at all times and a walking stick or hunting knife if you're going to be gone for long periods of time. And if you're going in a group, don't let anyone straggle. Always stay together and watch out for one another. All right, campers, now bear in mind that there are three types of bear behavior that you may encounter when you're out on the trails. A threatened bear, a non-threatened bear, and a stalking bear. The threatened bear you will be able to identify by the agitated, stressed vocal noises. The head will be lowered and the ears drawn back while he's facing you. If the threatened bear does make contact with you, fall to the ground playing dead. Lie with your face down, legs slightly apart, with your head between your elbows. If the bear flips you over, roll onto your stomach, but do not struggle or cry out, as this may be perceived as a violent action. Now, the second type of bear, a non-threatening bear, you would probably just encounter in your campsite or on the trails. This bear might not even notice you at first, but do not turn and run unless reaching safety is guaranteed. You don't want to make a bear follow you. Stand your ground until the bear leaves. The most important type of bear to be aware of, however, is the stalking bear. This is why you do not want to have your headphones in, as this bear will approach deliberately, silently, and quietly. If a stalking bear continues to follow you, elevate yourself on a log and raise your jacket over your head to look bigger. You don't want to look like easy prey, campers. If the bear does attack you, fight back with anything at hand. Your binoculars, rocks, pepper spray, a hunting knife. Strike the bear's eyes and nose. Kick and yell. Be defenseless, campers. You are fighting for your life. However, bear in mind that since 1900, there have only been 58 fatal black bear attacks in North America, with the stalking offensive attacks being the most frequent.
This is the end of the listening test.